when you have an infrastructure where only 9% of plastic is actually recycled. That big brand claim of, well, the plastic pack is now recyclable, feels like a pretty poor effort.
Welcome to Communicating Purpose. I'm John Higginson, founder of purpose-led communications agency Higginson Strategy. Higginson Strategy is a PR and public affairs specialist that supports organisations making the world a better place. Since its inception, it has been dedicated to the fight against plastic pollution. So today I'm joined by Hilary Strong, Chief Marketing Officer of Smol, a company that makes plastic-free and planet-friendly home cleaning products. Before joining Smol, Hilary worked for a range of well-known companies, including Coca-Cola, Unilever, and ESPN. Hilary, it's a great pleasure to have you on the show. Can you start by telling us a bit about your journey to where you are today?
Yeah, of course. Hi, John. Thank you for inviting me to join the show. I'm delighted to be here. So in terms of my journey, I started off with Unilever about probably even more than 25 years ago. So back in the days when social media barely existed and communication pretty much existed via traditional kind of big TV campaigns. So I spent about the first 10 years at Unilever, always on the food side, working on both UK and global brands. And then I left Unilever and slightly randomly to lots of people moved to Argentina, where I spent the next 10 years living. And I set up a marketing agency, doing a lot of work on branding, market research. And as you mentioned there, we worked with quite a lot of global brands, but then also lots of local brands and lots of startups. And then I came to Smol really at a point where Paula and Nick were sort of 2 years into that journey. So this was around 2019, 2020.
This is the founders, is it?
Paula exactly, and Nick. Yeah. Paula yeah. and Nick are our founders. And at the point where I was chatting to them, you know, I really didn't know that I'd ever come back client side. I really had loved the variety, the diversity of working agency side and working with lots of brands. And brands has been the thread of my whole career. You know, it's always been about that amazing relationship that brands have that potential to create with customers, and what that gives you in terms of both an opportunity and also a responsibility. But when I was chatting to Nick and Paula, and I knew them from back in the day at Unilever, what just felt really clear to me was that Smol was one of those brands that just had this potential to not only have a massive impact, you know, on the planet and on the community, but also to be one of those brands that just becomes a real flagship, you know, a really influential brand, shaking up and disrupting the status quo, you know, for customers and for the industry. And it just felt really exciting. It still feels really exciting in terms of what we have done and what we can do. And that's what brought me here to Smol. And I've been here in the CMO role since 2021, pausing to remember. But yeah, well, 3 years now, 3.5 years.
Well, as a customer myself, one of the things I like about Smol is the fact that it goes through the letterbox. You don't have any plastic packaging there. And I'm talking about the laundry detergents that are plastic free. And I also like the model of just a monthly pay model. You know, anything I think that means that you can take a bit of life admin away and it's just there and you're not thinking about buying other products. Because I think that's one of the ones where household products are traditionally, it's been quite a hard one to break, because even if you're really well-intentioned and you think, right, I'm going to go down to the reusable store and I'm going to take my reusable bottle and fill up there and do all those things, what ends up happening if you're a busy person, the stuff just runs out and you run down to the shop and all that's there is the usual plastic stuff. And we've all been there, haven't we? So that's what I really like about Smol and the way it markets itself and just ease. So just tell us a bit about the company's mission and communication strategy.
John, firstly, I'm delighted you're a customer, but you've kind of sort of wrapped up our mission in some respects there. I think the key to Smol is about making it easy for people. So our mission, put really simply, is how do we make it easy for millions of people to switch to everyday products that are better for the planet? It's as straightforward as that. And I think just with that clarity of, as a business and as a brand, we have the maximum impact when we make it really easy for millions of people to get involved. You know, it's as simple as that. And laundry and household cleaning categories are really interesting because, you know, these are massive categories. You know, everybody needs to clean their clothes, everybody needs to clean their house. And so finding ways to make it easy for people to make switches in those categories all add up very quickly to making a really big difference. And, you know, they're categories that historically are really defined by big mainstream brands that are very focused on price and performance, and hence their formulations, their packaging solutions are engineered around that proposition, but historically been really slow on doing anything meaningful in sustainability. And then at the other end of that spectrum, the other extreme, you've got smaller brands that want to offer something, propositions that are way more kind of sustainable. The issue with that at the other end is they're generally high priced and they generally don't work as well. And price and performance are the two key needs in our categories. So what we're doing at Small is saying, okay, how do we match the big brands on price, on performance, make it super easy for you, set up a service like exactly as you said, that you never get to 10 o'clock at night, run out and run down the shops. So finding a way to wrap up all of those key benefits, but then with products that are always better for the planet. So tackling particularly plastic, carbon and chemicals. And so that's effectively kind of what we're about. Make it easy, make it really easy for people to get involved with things that are tangibly better for the planet than those mainstream alternatives. And it really works, you know, when you get hundreds of thousands of people involved in that and making those small switches, it really adds up, you know. So our customer community has saved over 2,000 tons of plastic, over 26,000 tons of carbon, nearly 5,000 tons of chemicals in the last 6 years, which is just something to be really proud of. And I think it also really tackles that point of view, which we are really kind of counter to, of what we as consumers doesn't matter. You know, we can't make a big difference. We can't affect anything. And it just proves that actually we can, especially when we come together and do it together. And that might sound kind of super cliched, but it's just the truth. And it's a much more motivating place to be than feeling overwhelmed and powerless.
Yeah. Now, as I said at the top of our interview, and you probably know Higginson Strategies is a specialist in plastic pollution communications. So we're very interested in your Sick of Plastic campaign. Just tell us a bit about that, the idea behind that and what it was.
Yeah, it's a really simple idea. So it's a campaign that we aired last year, so in 2023. And I think, as we were talking about, you know, laundry is a category that everybody buys into. It's one of those things that often we don't really think about that much, but because it's something that all of us are buying, it actually has a huge footprint. So for example, you know, looking at data that even in as late as 2022, the laundry industry sent 70 million packs in plastic, either to landfill or into incineration, which just felt really shocking to us. And that idea of Sick of Plastic really sums up how we felt and how we think most customers feel, which is, how is that still happening? You know, why is that still the status quo? That just feels really unacceptable. And if a tiny startup like Small can get into plastic-free packaging as far back as 2020, like, why is it taking the industry so long to find better solutions for customers? So that's where the campaign came from. And as you know, the execution is a laundry machine, a washing machine in a kitchen vomiting up plastic packs, just to, you know, the simplicity of bringing that sentiment and bringing that idea to life and trying to really highlight to customers, this is happening. You know, those things that you're using, that you're buying, that we don't really pay much attention to, it really matters. And that big brand claim of, well, the plastic pack is now recyclable, just doesn't work. You know, when you have an infrastructure where only 9% of plastic is actually recycled, making your pack recyclable feels like a pretty poor effort.
Exactly. If I'm being blunt. Exactly. Greenwash, in other words. You talked about starting your career there in TV, and the segment you're just talking about was a TV clip as well. What do you find the most effective mediums for getting Small's message across?
Oh, great question. I mean, probably like lots of brands, particularly kind of D2Cs and startups, you know, there's a whole range of different comms that we're deploying. Social is really big for us, whether that's you know, right up at the top end in terms of generating awareness of the brand and the products, through to, you know, utilizing Facebook groups, you know, where we've got a really active segment of customers who are really operating as a community with very light touch from us. PR is also really big for us, you know, really kind of getting involved in news and media stories, partnerships increasingly as well, you know, working with like-minded brands. And that's where the whole kind of B Corp community has allowed us, you know, to become a much sort of more active part of a community and find like-minded brands. Email is really big for us as well. Because we've got a very loyal, engaged customer base, email is a really effective way for us to sort of stay in touch and communicate with customers. So yeah, just the full remit, the full kind of toolkit. We're kind of working at across a load of different channels and at all different levels of the kind of the customer journey.
Yeah. Do you see any emerging trends coming up in terms of what you think will be the most influential over the next 5 years, say?
In terms of channels,
in terms of ways of one to watch, you know, is it going to increase on TikTok? Is it going to be increasing some other way?
I think, yeah, I mean, within social media, that's a landscape that's, you know, obviously changing the whole time. TikTok being one of the most sort of interesting over the last year or two. And, you know, it's definitely moved out of that sort of conception of TikTok's for younger people. You know, it's less about brands. You know, I think that's probably on sort of firmly part of most brands' communication plan now. I think some of the things that are really interesting for me is, you know, and again, if I sort of go back to where I started with, you know, that much more sort of traditional, more structured sort of channel plan, it is just so much more diverse and agile and dynamic, you know, now than it ever was. And I think that's just going to continue. The thing that I really observe, though, is in that context, the importance of building trust, being transparent and being honest feel just more important than they've ever been. And really genuinely being customer focused and providing information in different levels and in different layers, depending on kind of how much customers want to know and how much they want to get involved. You know, one example that we sort of picked up on really recently was, you know, a piece of content that was being presented on social media as if it was coming from a sort of a sustainable news outlet. And it was, you know, had a load of content around kind of the laundry industry. And with a bit of digging, and in fact, our customers, you know, noticing it, you know, discovering that it was a purely AI created piece of content, there was no reputable news agency behind it, nor journalist. And that's the kind of stuff that worries me, because when we make it hard for customers to understand what's real and what they can believe, it really risks all the work we're trying to do in sort of moving the needle on things like sustainability. I think, you know, when we undermine the clarity of messaging, it's a bad place to be. So I think that's our challenge is, as all of those tools evolve, become kind of more in our day-to-day use, as channels become more diverse, as the sort of line between brands and content creators and sources of information becomes sort of ever more blurred, I think it's even more important for brands to be super responsible.
Absolutely. What's been your biggest success in which you felt that you've made the biggest difference in your career?
Can I pick two?
Yeah, go for it.
I'd probably pick one from some of the work that we did in Argentina, partly just because for me it was just a brilliant learning period, you know, to spend 10 years working with Latin American brands, creatives, and working on brands like ESPN, where we were helping them sort of try and understand how the brand should evolve, and ended up kind of getting into a whole piece of work around redesigning the visual identity for ESPN in Latin America, which was just a brilliant project. And it really, you know, bringing things like insight to that team was massively helpful for them. They came very much from an American sort of brand base. And so they were thinking about the growth of the brand in terms of, you know, linear progression. You know, people will follow ESPN on TV and then they'll move to different media, and talking to them about areas in Latin America where people will never have a TV. Actually, they'll consume your content immediately on a mobile phone. And what does that mean in terms of how they interact with the content? So that's probably the project there that I felt we had the biggest influence. On Small, the area that I'm most proud of is actually the work we do on hygiene poverty. A lot of people know Small for plastic-free packaging and the work we do around kind of better for the planet proposition. In parallel, we're doing tons and tons of work on hygiene poverty and working a lot with a super sweet organisation called the Hygiene Bank. I'm doing just tons of work around trying to highlight the number of people in the UK who live in hygiene poverty and don't have access to everyday products. So laundry detergent is one of the most requested non-food items at food banks in the UK at the moment. And so we partner up with them on across a number of initiatives. And the biggest is probably Suds in Schools, where we've run two campaigns now to raise awareness and then raise funds and to put mini laundrettes into schools to give families who are living in hygiene poverty access to machines. And obviously we supply all of the detergent. And that, you know, listening to the teachers talk about the impact that has on kids and kids' ability and kind of preparedness, if that's a word, to learn, that feels like a place where we're having a massive impact. And it's just a massive demonstration of, even as a small brand, you can make a really big difference. You know, it was 60 machines in year one. We've just put another 40 machines in over the last 2 weeks. It's 100 schools. Is it perfect? Is it the end solution? No. But being able to chip away at things and make a meaningful difference is just a massive buzz. And that's not just for me. That's the whole team.
That's great. Tell us a time that you've failed in one of your communications messages or had a really big challenge that you've struggled with.
One that's perhaps timely given the month we're talking about. And this is one that I sort of hesitate to share because it's a really obvious mistake. Was a post we did a couple of years ago related to pride. Now, diversity and inclusion is a massive part of who we are at Small. It's something we're really proud of internally. It's one of our values. It's core to how we work, how we recruit, how we work with our communities. And so for us as a team, sharing a post, sharing a commitment to those sets of values felt a very natural thing to do. And it was really interesting observing the pushback on that. And it really taught me about the importance of understanding kind of what your brand is associated with, what people want to associate it with, where they feel you should be really focused and what's really relevant and authentic for you.
Tell us, what was in that post and what was the criticism?
So the post was super, super innocuous. It was, you know, it was a post of, it was during the month of Pride, and as a team, because those are values that we hold really true to how we work and how we are, I guess, you know, a desire to express that and share that with a community. And the criticism was, you might be for all of those values, but that's not what you're talking about day in, day out. And if you want to associate yourself with the Pride movement, it is something that you should be living day to day. So yeah, it was just a really good learning on how sometimes your intentions don't always land as you want. And I think, yeah, a good learning for us about understanding what people really associate with Smile and how we really, you know, keep those things focused. We don't have to be everything to all people.
Yeah. You've got a very busy and stressful job. Tell us how you unwind, and also what forms of media do you consume personally yourself in the privacy of your own home? What do you like reading and watching and swiping through?
Good question. I would say very much over the last year or two is turning away from screens, which is actually quite hard, partly professionally and partly personally, because so much of the media and the content that you might, you know, want to have a look at to unwind is, you know, another screen. So that's definitely something I've consciously chosen in the last year or two is kind of back away from screens. So I've always been really into sports. So that's a massive outlet for me is, you know, running, swimming, yoga, and pretty much anything outside, being as outdoors as I can be and spending as much time outside as I can be. I also have a 9-year-old son who does not tolerate any after hours working, which is massively helpful actually. So yeah, he's a brilliant ally in sort of switching off and switching away from screens. So yeah, back to books, back to music, back to some, you know, some of the sort of more old school, if you like, you know, forms of media. Yeah. And yeah, anything away from a screen is my favoured pastime.
Great. What message would you give to a younger you?
Oh, I was thinking about this one. I think I would say push harder and fail more.
Very good.
Because if I think back over the last 25 years, there's definitely two or three things, whether they're campaigns or product launches, that I could have pushed harder and didn't, because it felt, you know, for whatever reason, particularly in the corporate world, it felt too hard, you know, and it was like trying to sort of, you know, literally push water uphill. And I think one of the things that I've loved most about Small is we really do have a culture of kind of try and fail. And never have I felt more safe to fail than I do at Small, which is, you know, a massive testament, I think, particularly to Nick in terms of how he leads the business. And it genuinely makes us do better work.
Great. That kind of Silicon Valley run fast and break things.
Ask for permission afterwards.
Yeah. Final question. If you could have one dinner with someone alive or dead, who would it be and why?
Oh my gosh, that is so hard. There's literally about 20 people that spring to my mind immediately. One that just popped into my head, and this was really inspired by watching some of the D-Day coverage last week, would be my granddad. He fought in the war, very fortunately survived it, and came back, and I knew him, but he died when I was quite a young girl. And I would have loved to know him better, you know, and have had more time to know him and more as an older person. So yeah, he would be one I'd love just to sit and have a good old gas with and know more of his life and his history, because he was a pretty cool guy. I think the other person, just because I just think a lot of the work they've done is really interesting, would be someone like Ellen MacArthur. I think some of the work she's been doing around kind of circularity, a very sort of specific person there, but I just think a lot of the work she's done around plastic circularity, and what she's trying to do in terms of community and open sharing of information and best practice, has a really nice ethos to it. And I think that sort of scale of participation and inspiration is just a massive part of how we're going to move forward, you know, within sustainability and purpose work. So, yeah, I think she'd be a really interesting dinner partner.
Great. Hilary Strong, Chief Marketing Officer at Small. You've been speaking to me, John Higginson, on Communicating Purpose. If you'd like to know about how Higginson Strategy supports purpose-led organisations, please visit higginsonstrategy.com.